The House will come to order. Members of the House, I think he can hear us out there, but most of us are pleased that the doorman is back. So, yay! Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, has reviewed Senate File 1 pursuant to Joint Rule 14-1E1 and 2. The following lists are provided. Signed, Representative Philp, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Elections, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 18, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Brown, Gilmore, Illaway, Martin, Meyer, Miller, Korberg, Stepson, Zwanitzer, Dan. Signed, Representative Illaway, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred Senate File 41, respectfully reports back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Brown, Illaway, Martin, Meyer, Miller, Korberg, Stepson, Zwanitzer, Dan. No, Gilmore. Signed, Representative Illaway, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Business Minerals, Business and Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate File 57, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Esquivel F., Hammonds, Harvey, Meyer, Korberg, Stewart, no, Brechtel, Edmonds, Lockhart. Signed, Representative Lockhart, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred Senate File 39, engrossed, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Esquivel K., Hales, Helen N., Harvey, Landon, Lubno, Millen, Stewart, excused, Eichel. Signed, Representative Landon, Chairman.
Members of the House, we are now going to have a discussion. Pardon me. Representative Edwards.
Mr. Speaker, may I have privilege of the floor?
Yes, you may.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like the body to recognize a couple of beautiful ladies up here in the South Gallery. We have Patty Morrell, who manages one of our big motels in that great little town of Douglas, and the Chamber of Commerce Director, Helga Bull. Those two beautiful ladies up there.
Members of the House, provided to you as a package of material which Mr. Chairman Philp will explain in just a second, we are now going to discuss the differences, particularly the Senate amendments, to the budget bill. In years past, we've had the infamous straw poll, which required a roll call vote on every position of difference between the two houses. However, I have opted not to do that, and there are some cases where we may take a voice vote to see if we know what the strength of the difference between the House position and the Senate position is. At any time, should anyone want to get up and ask for or have some questions or comments on the chairman's discussion of the differences in the budget bill, please feel free to do that. That is part of the process. Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Speaker, the House Appropriations Committee met this morning, and the purpose of that was to discuss the adopted Senate amendments, which we did discuss. Mainly we discussed the non-identical amendments, because we have already discussed quite a bit the identical amendments. So today our discussion will mainly be focused on the non-identical amendments. In the standing committee report you have here, which was as a result of our meeting this morning, per the joint rules, and it's a thing that looks like this, one pager, has my name barely legible on there. It says standing committee report at the top. You have that. We probably won't work off of that. We won't work off of that much. We also have adopted House amendments. It's a fairly thick document, and we won't work off of that as well, as we're already familiar with that. And the rules say that we should just discuss the Senate amendments. You have a document labeled Adopted Senate Amendments, and that's the main document we will work off of, so keep that handy. The other thing that you might find handy is what we call the cheat sheet. And the first couple of pages, first three pages, are arranged in bill order, both the House and the Senate amendments. That's just for your reference. Then you come on to page four, and at the top you see the identical House amendments, and at the bottom where the lines are the House amendments, non-identical amendments. And those are in numerical order of the bills on page four and on page five. Then if you go on to page six, and this is the most important one for these pages, the last pages are the most important for our discussion today. The identical amendments are there at the top, and we will just briefly talk about the identical amendments. The unidentical Senate amendments are in numerical order at the bottom of the page where you see the horizontal lines going across. And that, what we'll do is start through, and I'll be going through this, but you can refer back to the cheat sheet there for an explanation if you need further explanation than what I give. And the first non-identical amendment, and it's one that we saw here in the House and that we had turned down, and it was for participation in the National Flagship Program promoting advanced instruction in Chinese languages. And this is a program that would be done in partnership with the Department of Ed and the University of Wyoming. And that amendment is the top of this page on adopted Senate amendments. And that amendment shows up on your cheat sheet. It's right there in the middle of the page, the top one right there. And it's, and it's no new money. And if there is money in these amendments, you will see that. You see up at the top of the page where it has GEF as general fund, federal fund, and other fund. You will see money show up, a number in the line under, most of them are under general fund for the amendments that have money. Okay, and the next one Rosie will talk about, and that's the representative from Sheridan County will talk about, and that's
Thank you. So I'll be just working on the ones that we all agree on, both sides of the House.
First of all, were there any questions on that first one, Mr. Speaker? On the Chinese language.
So if you look at the top of your sheet like this, Senate File 2003, that is the technology enhancement for the GIS system for our census redistricting process that we're going for, and that's the $317,858, and we agree on that one. And what I did that makes things a little easier for me, I saved all my amendments. So if you want to go back and just look at the wording on them, I cross-referenced the Senate Amendment 2003 with the House Amendment, which is 2050. So I'll give those to you so you can mark them down if you so desire. And that's all there is on 2003. Okay. And I guess I'll continue with the Senate Amendment 2010, which is cross-referenced with your House Amendment 2028. This is with the Department of Health, and it has to do with our substance abuse and mental health crises beds. And we both have the same wording, and the amount was a general fund appropriation of $3 million, and then also to give approval for the federal funding of $4.4 million to do the crises stabilization in those additional regions that we had discussed. The next one will be 2016. That was our House Amendment 2002, and that has to do with the retirement benefits for the Supreme Court, and the amount was $351,685. The next one is Senate file or Amendment 2017. It was our House Amendment 2008, and that had to do with the state parks on road deficiencies, and it had to do with immediate funding out of the general fund. So that had already been appropriated, but just to release it immediately. And the next one should be 2019, House Amendment 2010. Had to do with the University of Wyoming classroom and lab renovation, and that was actually a reduction from $6,850,000 to $6,250,000. Okay, and then we're now back to Chairman Philp on 2020.
Mr. Speaker, on Senate File Amendment 2020, this gives $15,000 to the state auditor for reimbursement of incidental expenses incurred by the five state elected officials, and not to exceed $750 per official per calendar quarter. That's similar to an amendment that we saw, and later on they amended this up to $30,000. Any questions on that? Mr. Speaker, this is Senate File 2021, and that's on page 6 of your adopted Senate amendments. That budget affects Department of Transportation, and it requires DOT to consult with the county commissioners. And this one was deleted and clarified by a later amendment. That I think it put some put a date in there of 2010. I don't remember exactly, but I'll explain that when we get to it. Any questions on that one? The next one is 2026A for legislative artwork donation program. This is one we also heard about in the House and turned it down, but they did pass it in the Senate. Any questions? Okay. And the next one is a non-identical amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay, then, Mr. Chairman, we're on 2029, or House Bill or Amendment 2029, which was the clean coal project approval, and then the clarification on the AML funding of $3.8 million. That was the Senate Amendment 2029. The next one we have is Senate Amendment 2033. That has to do with the state retirement system in offering for a CIO a position at $366,000. That was House Amendment H, it was 2025. And then we go to Senate 2034, House Amendment 2015. This was the $1 million that we designated for construction appropriation that had to do with SLIB and making certain that they were looking at, I wanted energy efficient, energy audits. And then the next one I think is for you, Mr. Chairman, 2040. Pardon me? Oh, Frank did. Okay, hold on. Mr. Chairman, I think, are you ready for 2030? Okay. Thanks.
Members, I'm going to talk about, if you're on your cheat sheet, I'm going to do Senate 2057. And is that, do you want me to do local government?
Let's
I'm sorry.
Them in order
so I'm, excuse me, members. It's okay, 2030, which is on page 9 of this, the adopted Senate amendments. And it's on the cheat sheet. It's about the, it's about the fifth one down. And it just extended the carryover time for the UW School of Energy Resources appropriation from the 2006 session laws. I think we must just have a little different language than the House version. And I don't think there's much. I'm on 2030, yeah, on page 9 of the adopted Senate. All the cheat sheets are on the last two long sheets. The last two legal sheets of your packet are all the Senate amendments. And I think the chairman numbered those page 6 and page 7. And you can see those identical ones on top, and then the ones with the lines boxed around them are the Senate adopted amendments. So that's kind of how we're working there.
And, Mr. Chairman, yeah, we're dealing with the Senate Amendment 2034, which we just discussed previously, the local government energy audits, the $1 million that we both concurred on.
No.
We did. Senate 2034.
Well, we're not going on that sheet.
No, but it's right here. Didn't you just tell me this one?
We did 2030.
Okay. On page 11 of your Senate adopted amendments, Senate 2040 was regional offices for the Wyoming Business Council. This is another one that was turned down in the House. And the Senate did adopt that one. Questions on that?
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, may I just ask for an at-ease for a moment? I hear a lot of rumbling out there. I want to ask.
Representative Berger, I think maybe for as long as we're going through the my original intent was to go through the explanation of the differences between the Senate and the House. It's a little cumbersome. Yes, Mr. Chairman. We could explain the Senate amendments, or if there are anybody, our conference committee, who has yet to be named, some of them would probably like to know what the strength of support or lack of support from the House members for particular Senate positions are. If that's the general feeling of the House, we could go ahead and take a voice vote on each amendment as they arise. So if you'll forgive me for just a minute, Mr. Chairman, if we go back to the one on page one, about the Chinese language amendment that the Senate adopted, but I understand that they pulled the funding out, that the money can be found with existing resources. What I would like to do is ask those in favor of that amendment, should our House Conference Committee agree with that, how many of those signify by saying aye would be in favor of that amendment? How many signify by saying no would be opposed to that amendment?
No.
Okay. Now, if we'll move on to the next amendment that is not identical, which is SF0001S2020. That can be found on page 5. And then, okay, we have a little bit of difficulty up here, but we're getting around to it. But until we get to that point, if I could ask for your consideration on at least some message that we can give to our House Conference Committee when they go to the conference to discuss the budget. If you'll see the other adopted amendments from the Senate, the second one there, 2020/A, which was again amended by 2024, on third reading, and you will find that on page 28, where it increases the amount of money from $15,000 per year to $30,000. So, all of those that are in favor of that increase from $15,000, because the House version had $15,000 in it, the Senate version now has $30,000. So all of those in favor of the increase from $15,000 per year to $30,000 per year for our top five statewide elected officials to have certain expense accounts that they now do not have. All of those in favor signify by saying aye. All of those opposed signify by saying no.
No.
That's fairly strengthy. Okay. And then we'll go to the next amendment, non-identical amendment, which is 2021.01, corrected. You'll find that on page 6, but then it was later deleted in third reading amendment number 7, so we don't have to take a position on that. Then if we could go to the fourth item in the non-identical amendments, which would be 2026. And you will find that on the bottom of page 6. That is an amendment that the Senate applied that allows up to $7,500 for artwork. For those of you that are in favor of that Senate amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, signify by saying no.
No.
I think I heard you. And
Mr. Speaker?
Representative Landon.
If it's appropriate, I'd like to make just a quick comment about the process.
That's appropriate.
I think what we're looking at, body, is things that we can trade with the Senate. And if you look at the things we've just looked at, you know, one of them was $15,000. This one was $7,500. They're really pretty darn insignificant. And I think that we should probably consider keeping these things just as trading items, because I think we're going to come up some things that really amount to some real dollars, and we might want to hold a position on that's more firm. So I just thought I'd share that for what it's worth.
Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Chairman. What we will do Representative Lubnow.
Mr. Speaker, I hate to disturb this rousing presentation of the budget, but privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Mr. Speaker, in the South Gallery is a group of new leaders from the Gillette Area Leadership Institute. Give them a welcome to the Wyoming House.
Members of the House, we will continue with the explanation. Representative Madden.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, along the same lines as my seatmate, I'm wondering if, you know, a couple of these little straw votes that we had seemed to beg a third answer, and that should be yes, no, and you don't really care. You know, well, I would think the Appropriations Conference Committee would get some benefit by knowing that the body really isn't strong on this measure one way or the other, and then the ones that are very vociferous in the no direction, you should have a list of those, and another list of where we're very vociferous in the yes direction. But I would suspect that, like for these small $15,000 deals and $7,500 deals, that most of the rational people in here would say, well, you don't care. Just something to consider.
An excellent consideration. We could go yes and no on a hand signal, but I don't think we'll do that. What we'll do, Representative Madden, is we will have the explanation of the budget, and then we will allow our conference committee to go do some good work and then come back, and then we'll take some positions. So I think that would speed up this process quite a little bit. Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Speaker,
we're going to dispense with the vote until our conference committee gets back from their first meeting with the Senate, and then explain the differences to them. And then, as Representative Madden said, there can be some give and take in that conference committee that would eliminate a lot of these ideals. Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members apologize for the confusion. I think if you take the adopted Senate amendments and just use this as a reference, kind of for backup, it's got all the narrative that we probably none of us really need to read. So keep that kind of as a backup. Now, we had a little confusion with numbers. It's the last two long sheets in your packet. Last two long sheets. Flip to those two sheets, please. We're going to kind of start this over and get going.
Okay. No, we're not starting over.
So if you look at these last two long sheets, one is last in my packet, two, and yours, three. Okay.
Actually, you want most of them are numbers.
Let me get what you have, Mr. Speaker. So it's 5, 6, and 7, members. Now, if you had turned to page 5, Everybody on page 5. So it's the last 3 long sheets in your packet. That's part of the problem. We have a different packet than you have. Now that we're all on the same packet. Then, folks, the one pager, which the good chairman of appropriations talked about, which is has his name at the bottom as a committee report. Now, this aligns identically with your cheat sheet. The first one's on top here in the first separation, starting with cinephile. I think that is, it's looks like amendment number 3, the first one, down through line 19. You see that? So it's lines 6 through 19. They match up identically with the identical amendments on your cheat sheet. Okay? And then following, the second ones are the non-identical. These are the Senate amendments. We will briefly explain these to you. I don't think we'll take a straw vote now is where we're going to go with this. And different groups of us will explain these. You've heard all these issues. Many of these we defeated on this floor. Are we ready to go now? Are we clear on what we, now that we all have the same packet? It's all warm and fuzzy now. We all feel good about it. Okay, I think I'm done, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I'm sorry to interrupt. May I have privilege of the floor?
You certainly may.
Mr. Speaker, there is a guest here from Torrington who's a former member of this body, and I can recall sitting over here and watching him at this podium, and he'd go like this, and he'd talk to us, and he'd usually vote no every single time on every single bill. But I first met this gentleman when I was in Boy Scouts in Cody, and I'd like to introduce to you Roger Huckfeldt from Torrington.
Hey!
Well, thank you. Mr. Speaker.
Representative Huckfeldt.
It's good to be down here again. It's been a while since I've got to speak at a microphone here. Things have changed a little bit. Somewhere over there, my desk should have a carving in it. All right. You guys are doing a good job. I hear what's going on every now and then. Try to keep informed as best I can. First year I came down here, we started arguing about what to do with the wolves. It's been a long time, and they're finally going to do something with them, thanks to the good work you guys have done in the past. Just wanted to stop in. I brought my grandson with me, Stetson. He was just born the last year I was down here. He's kind of one of the reasons, well, besides Ed beat me, that I didn't come back down here. It's pretty tough to sit and leave a young man like this at home whenever you get a chance to spend time with your grandkids. Make sure you do it, because I sure enjoy it. We all get a little bit older. I even have to wear an eyepiece now, dadgummit. But I'm glad to see everybody. Glad I had a chance to sit and stop in and say hi. Keep up the good work. I don't want to cause you too much grief on the budget, but like Colin said, when in doubt, vote no.
All right.
Okay.
Mr. Speaker, we're going to continue with those amendments that are the identical on the Senate and House, and just make certain that you understand what they are. And we had left off prior to the little primer on figuring out how to do this on Senate Amendment 2034. And so that was about midway down on your long sheet, and it is on line 13 of your I and no sheet. So the next one that we need to just let you know about is 2041, which was with DFS, and it's the $2 million that we had agreed on for the juvenile boards for community service. The next one is 2051. This is the Medicaid that we changed the percentage from 90% to 100% for the prenatal care. And then 2058 is the Guardian Ad Litem program, where we transfer the positions or and the money from the public defender's office to the county. 3008, which is on line 17, is the Division of Aging, and this is the pilot project that we have called Greenhouse. And on 3011, that is taking the footnote off of the WICHE loan program. And then 3025 is the Community College Task Force. And that is ends us on line 19, and it starts us now with the continuation of where we do not have agreed amendments, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Phil.
Okay. And Mr. Chairman, and I apologize for all the confusion. And we'll just go right on down that same page where Rosie left off when you get to where the and some of these I have already explained. The first one is Senate 2002, and that was the one dealing with Chinese language. The next one is Senate 2020, incidental expenses for elected officials. That's one we have already explained. 2021, general fund appropriation to the commission. That is a footnote for direction on the $200 million expenditures in DOT, requiring them to work with the county commissioners. And they, I believe that later on they further clarify that amendment. 2026, agency 024 cultural resources, that was $7,500 and a footnote to be expended for legislative artwork. And that was one that was turned down here in the House. 2030A, carryover appropriations, $230,600 general fund and a footnote for regional offices for the business council, and the House also turned down that amendment. 2042 is AML funding. We reduced the appropriation in section, they have reduced the appropriation for abandoned coal mine reclamation and put new language in that, and I believe that one is also further amended later on. Yeah. Senate 2044A, that changed the retirement study from the treasurer to the state auditor. That is one that we turned down. And if there's any questions, be sure and get up fast. Senate 2046 deals with forestry. That's one that the House had turned down as well, required the Office of State Lands and Investment to spend $100,000 on forest management for bark beetles. Senate 2048, local government distribution, WildLink equipment facilitation, that was required political subdivisions to provide access for WildLink equipment before any funds can be used under that section. Senate 2049, capital construction. That added authorization for all of the dorm projects, and that's private resources. And the House turned that down. Senate 2050, circuit courts, reduced $27,000 general fund and a footnote for the 900 expenditures. That limit was $543,760. And I think that limited I think that was $3 million per court, and there's nine courts. Uh, 20,
Senate 2051, that's healthcare financing and administration. That was $126,250 general fund was appropriated to contract with Aging and Disability Resource Center for services to train senior center personnel in advising people on nursing home alternatives. 2057, that was capital construction. That was $771,210 reduction for the College of Business capital construction project. And apparently their cost estimates had gone down on what that was going to cost. Senate 2057, faculty endowment decrease. That was a reduction from the Common School Public Lands Fund. Senate File 2057, Public Library Endowment Challenge Fund. They put that $1 million into the Common School Public Land Fund. Senate 2059 is NEPA review, which we had turned down here in the House. Senate 2068 is the Athletics Bridge Loan, which we had turned down in the House. Senate 3002A, Residence Operations. That's $100,000 general fund and a footnote for irrigation and landscaping at the governor's residence. And the only difference there from the House amendment, we had the same money, but it's slightly different language. This was a bill. The next one, or an amendment, 3006, is for sage-grouse planting and protection. That allowed sage-grouse to be raised on private farms and released, similar to what they do with pheasants now, can do with pheasants. 3007 is general fund appropriation to the commission. It's just a footnote that this further amends a previous amendment that they made, and it's the footnote on, and it requires removed language, and it requires safety-related projects to receive a higher priority, and still makes them consult with the county commissioners. 3013, field services. This is Department of Corrections, and $434,000 for GPS tracking. It didn't include the funding, just the authorization to spend that much out of their present budget. The next one is ANI Capital Complex.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
Representative Eichel.
Before we get off of page 5, could I just ask for some clarification? If you could go back to the Community College Capital Construction 2049 Senate bill. Excuse me. That apparently isn't that something that we don't authorize funding for. And these are non-identical, so that we didn't authorize those monies, and the Senate did. Can that be explained? We don't put money into the construction of dorms, isn't that correct?
Chairman Phil.
That is correct, that we don't put state money into the construction of dorms, but that was turned down in the House.
Which means, does
Senate,
this...
The Senate adopted it.
But even though it's private funding, we
even though it's private funding, we have the authority to authorize those projects.
Does that mean, Mr. Chairman, that we would acquiesce to that being authorized, since we didn't do it?
Well, not necessarily. It's going to be part of the negotiation. It will be part of the negotiation.
Thank you.
Representative Harshman.
No, I'm good, Mr. Speaker. That was the one where we members where we divided those out, defeated all those projects individually. The Senate didn't divide it out, and they passed the Senate. So whether they'll be in, like the good chairman said, negotiations. That's not over anybody's dead body. That's just negotiations.
Chairman Philp.
Mr. Speaker, the next one's at the top of page 6, I believe it's on your... and I can't... Amendment 3016A, and that's ANI Capital Construction, Capital Complex Construction Account. This is one that, at least a similar amendment was turned down in the House, and it makes a new capital building rehabilitation account, rehabilitation and restoration account, and added transferred $10 million general fund into that. Senate 3017 is a footnote change. Adds language to the school CapCon account, transferring $15 million of future coal lease bonus to the Hathaway Scholarship Fund. I believe that one was tried in the House as well, but was adopted in the Senate. 3020A, capital construction, $155 million added to the remainder of the capital construction list for the community colleges, and that was a number of projects that the community colleges, and I think we saw a similar amendment here in the House, but was turned down. And as I recall, the reasoning being that it added quite a lot to the square footage and thereby to major maintenance and possibly the future general fund needs of the community colleges. Senate 3024A, elected officials, incidental expenses. This is one that they changed their second reading amendment to $30,000 from $15,000. Senate 3026, Bitter Creek cleanup project. That added a new Section 300 AML funding for Bitter Creek project, which is in Rock Springs, from existing funding, if it's available. It deletes Senate 2042, which redirected existing abandoned mine funding. Senate 3029, that's the local. Okay.
Representative Lockhart.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to have a little more explanation of the Bitter Creek cleanup project. That doesn't sound like what we did here, and I thought it was a mirror on the Senate side. And it looks like, for whatever reason, it's not, and it's going back to AML.
Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Philp.
They were different amendments, different language and different accounts.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, as I read, the two amendments are actually the same language, and it shows the same accounts.
Chairman Philp.
The Senate took two amendments to do what we did in one amendment. That's why they're unidentical.
Mr. Speaker, We're on Senate 3029A, local government distributions, unfunded or partially funded projects. This is a Senate footnote that the $33 million that comes out of severance taxes for, as it's stated now, unfunded local projects. Well, some folks couldn't quite, there was some discussion, well, what about us folks who can partially fund projects? And so we basically allowed the SLIB board a little more flexibility to not only consider unfunded projects, but also partially and underfunded projects. So that's all that is a little bit of language, a footnote in that case. Okay. Senate 3031A, Division on Aging, $60,000, appropriates one-time funding and adds a footnote for the foster grandparents program. The Senate passed that. Now, the Senate 3032.01.02.03 all deal with appropriating $500,000 in general fund to the Hobbs School and adds a footnote specifying expenditure for that purpose. And the footnote and adjustment clause were divided out from the appropriation, but all parts. So they went through, they tried to separate it out. They divided it three ways, and all three divisions passed. So that's what happened on that. So there's $500,000 now. That came before the JAC, and we voted that out, but the Senate put it back in. The last one, Senate 3036A, local government distributions. Now, just read that little narrative on your cheat sheet. The Meyer Amendment takes $22 million from the direct consensus block grant and changes the distribution on the consensus formula. This is for the counties. It's 80% per capita and 20% inverse assessed valuation per capita. The JEC formula was 75-25. This changed it to 80-20. And then it added the $22 million that we took from the direct consensus block there in the first sentence and put it in the direct municipal distributions. And it leaves the formulas the same as the JEC version. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you can turn to see those. Now, I would tell you where we had some confusion on your handout and my handout. If you look at your next long sheet, that one shouldn't be there. It's copied out of order. So there was a little copy error. So just you could tear that out or get rid of it or whatever. But if you would flip over now to the short, the letter-sized sheets. You know, it's some of you folks are younger than me. Some of you are older. My eyeballs are kind of a tweener. Can't see with these things, can't see without them. But anyway, I'm going to try to see without them. Now, folks, this just compares the House. There's actually three major divisions where you can see the comparisons. There is not there. The JC position is not on this sheet because it no longer exists. So we have the House position, which was voted the Third Amendment, kind of dealing with locals the other evening, and then you can see the Senate position, which we just read about and explained, and then you can see the difference. Now, what that does is, I believe the Senate is subtracted from the House. Is that correct, Mr. Chairman? And so,
Mr. Speaker,
or did I say that wrong,
Mr. Chairman?
It's the House minus the Senate.
Minus the Senate. So if there is a parenthesis around your county or your town, that means you do better, of course, with the Senate version. I know everybody checks for winners and losers, so that's how that works. If you see a parenthesis around yours, that means you do better with the Senate version. And I think, unless there's any questions on local, are there any other questions then? Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, my question is, The Appropriations Committee's formula is gone, but it is within the realm of compromise between these two. In other words, could the Conference Committee come up with one that's closer to the appropriations and still be within the rules that are applied as far as being in between somewhere?
Chairman Phil.
Mr. Speaker, you know, I believe as long as we stay within the total amount on the amendment that we have, I haven't really compared them that way, but I think it is within the realm of possibility, yes.
Further questions from the floor? Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think as you've reviewed or heard just briefly what we've just presented to you, there are not a lot of differences. So as we go through this process, what I would like you to consider are probably three things. The University of Wyoming funding, where we received dollars back and we appropriated on the House side to the School of Natural Resources and Energy for future uranium development. The Senate appropriated their funding to a bill that is still alive for library endowment funding. That's the one major difference. Funding is, the amount of dollars are the same, the place that they're parked are different. Community colleges is the second big discussion piece. They've got both amendments in there. Senate filed 2049, or amendment 2049 and 3020, and those are the two appropriations that they're not appropriations, but they're just authorizing the building of those facilities for dorms and for other facilities. So you could do two things there. You could say that you would like to authorize the dorm facilities to be built, or you could authorize the other facilities, or you could do both. So you, in all reality, you have three choices plus a no to all of it. So that's a fourth choice. And then the third item that has a difference is local government, which has been discussed now. But keep in mind that you can go from zero to whatever, because someone's going into conference on that. And that doesn't, you can bring back the JAC formula if you wanted to. So there's quite a bit of play there. That's what I had to add. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion or questions of the committee? Mr. Chairman.
Okay. And Mr. Chairman, that's really is all I have to add.
So if acceptable to the House, the process would be to appoint the conference committee to meet with a like committee from the Senate, and then they'll hash out some minor differences and come back and ask for your approval on those minor differences, and then we'll obtain, after further discussion, the wishes of this floor as presented, the major differences as presented by the committee to you, the conference committee at that time, and how they should carry your message back to the second conference committee. Unless the House chooses to take a vote on each difference at this point. Okay. Seeing no questions, Conference Committee on Senate File 1. Representative Philp, Chairman. Representative Berger. Representative Jorgensen. Representative Lubnow. And Representative Shepperson. Chairman Philp.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and we'll do the best we can and kind of let you know how things are going.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole.
You have heard the motion. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Representative Dan Zwanitzer.
The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File Number 6. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 6, introduced by the Mental Health Committee, an act relating to hospitalization of mentally ill persons. This bill was referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary, which recommended that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Alden, Begbie, Buchanan, Dockstader, Gingrey, Mercer, Olson, Throne, Excuse, Shepperson. Signed, Representative Buchanan, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that Senate File 6 do pass and would defer to the good representative from House District 23 for an explanation of the bill.
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There is a standing committee amendment. Maybe the chairman wants to do that first.
Chairman Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I would also move the standing committee amendment to Senate File 6, and I would also have the good representative explain the standing committee amendment.
Representative Gingrey.
Mr. Chairman, maybe we'll just deal with the standing committee amendment real quick. It was more just a language grammar issue. On page 2, line 22, it said related to the treatment for the suspected mental illness, and the committee just stuck in assessment of or necessary treatment. So unless there's any questions, I would call the question on the standing committee amendment.
You've heard the motion on the standing committee amendment. Question having been called, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. Standing committee amendment number 1, Senate File 6 has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I co-chair the Select Committee on Mental Health and Substance Abuse, and this bill came to us this summer from the Department of Health. They brought this bill forward to us, and particularly from the state hospital. And here's the issue, just to give you some background. So let's say in your county someone has a mental illness issue, such as perhaps schizophrenic who gets off their medications, or someone who attempts suicide for whatever reason, they have a mental illness issue. They are then what we call involuntarily committed, and the county takes them into custody. The county is responsible for the first 72 hours to pay for the cost, the first 72 hours. Within that first 72 hours, there's what's called a 109 hearing, which is actually an emergency detention hearing. That hearing then determines if they can be held for 10 more days. During that 10-day period of time, they can either be held at the county or if a 110 hearing is held, which is the involuntary commitment hearing, they can be transported to the state hospital in Evanston. The county is responsible for the first 72 hours, whether they're in the county or not in the county. The state is responsible for everything after the first 72 hours. What came to the attention of the Department of Health was the issue of paying for medical costs that were unrelated to the issue which brought them to be hospitalized. So, for example, if you look on the bill, what it says is that we'll pay all the medical treatment costs. If it's the county, it's the first 72 hours, state after 72 hours, that resulted in the emergency detention of the person or that are attributable to affirmative actions taken by the person that have placed the person in danger of suicide or serious bodily harm. So if it's medical treatment such as someone ingested some pills in order to potentially to kill themselves, or they have done something to their wrists, we'll pay for all those medical costs. However, what we're trying to address in this bill is the issue of paying for such as pacemakers, that someone comes in, perhaps not on a suicide attempt, perhaps more important, something such as just they have some type of break, that we would not be paying for pacemakers or other items such as that. So we went on down, and you'll look in subsection F. We were very clear to define what we meant by costs, that it's related to the treatment of the suspected mental illness and or otherwise specified back in A2, which we already discussed. That's the gist of the bill. Some of the issues that came up that we tried to address in this is to make sure that we're still paying all the medical costs that are needed to be paid for this individual, such as this would not curtail the use of a CT scan, because many times some of the manifestations that they are exhibiting are not from a mental illness. They actually could be biologically caused, such as a tumor in your brain, and that the only way to determine that is through a CT scan. And so that would still be an option. What we're trying to curtail is the use of involuntary commitments, and we had some testimony that because the state pays the bill, there's been some use of Title 25 to try to get the person into the hospital so that the state will pick up the bill on something that is completely unrelated to the mental illness, such as an example that the Department of Health kept using was a pacemaker. So that's the bill, and I stand for any questions.
Is there Mr. Majority Floor Leader?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On page 2, lines 13 through 16, and what I see here in Romanat 1, A and B, is that they'll be treated for those conditions, number one, that resulted in the emergency detention of the person, or that are attributable to affirmative actions taken by the person that have placed the person in danger of suicide or bodily harm. If you had a person who was medicated, stopped taking their medications, my first question, is that an affirmative action when you stop doing something you should be doing? And if they stop taking their medication and then they're drinking heavily and the heavy drinking leads to the emergency detention, but they have a condition that requires immediate medical attention, not related to the drinking, do they get treated? And then secondly, we've limited that to that have placed the person in danger of suicide or serious bodily harm when the definition in the statute, I believe it's about placing themselves. Let me see here. A person who is a danger to themselves or others is a little more expansive than just danger of suicide or serious bodily harm. And I certainly understand the intent of the bill and think that that's in the existing language in the current statute where it says, at line 7 and 8, including costs of medical treatment for those conditions, and then you go to line 16, conditions demanding immediate medical attention. And that was being viewed as too broad because it wasn't related to the emergency detention itself. Say somebody had an appendicitis attack. We wouldn't pay for that. So I guess to summarize the question is, why use the danger of suicide or serious bodily harm and not the broader definition of a danger to himself or to others that's in the statute?
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Great question. That's something we actually did discuss. If you look, that's why there's a distinction between A and B. A is primarily what you're talking about. So if someone comes in for failure to take their medications, perhaps alcohol withdrawal, we're going to pay for all of that because that is something that resulted in their emergency detention. And that's the primary thing we're paying for. what we were concerned about, and the only reason we stuck B in, was to deal with the items that are non-related, that are unrelated to the mental illness, such as someone harming their wrists, something medical. And so those was why we used that terminology. The reason we didn't use the other terminology, harm to yourself or others, we believe that was actually covered already in letter A. Letter B was dealing with the actual medical procedures. I would point out that everyone will get their treatment. So if you come in and you have a need, you're going to be treated. It's just coming down to the cost, whether or not the state's going to be responsible or if or the patient will get the bill for those items that were not related to either A, why they were brought in there, failure to take your meds or whatever, or B, these medical issues that you did to yourself.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Representative Alden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I understood it in committee, you've got the person that is in the emergency room on a suspected drug overdose, and they've taken a scan of their stomach, look at their gallbladder, and find that they may have gallstones. The fact that they have gallstones is not going to be covered under the state's medical bills that they'll reimburse. The treatment for the suicide attempt for the overdose of drugs will be. Is that correct?
Representative Warren.
Mr. Chairman, I have another question, so I don't know whether the first question's been answered, but the question would be, we talked about in committee, and maybe there needs to be some discussion on the floor of this, just so we're all aware of it. And that would be the idea that if a person is involuntarily detained, as somebody that might be in a detention center for committing a crime, is there a similar involuntary aspect of that where constitutionally we are required to cover all medical costs? So if you have somebody in jail and this person has cancer or has a heart attack, they're going to be treated because while they're in jail or in prison, they're probably going to be fully covered medically. Would that same standard apply to somebody detained involuntarily?
Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mine is just a question. If a person has private health insurance at any time, are they responsible for any of these medical costs? Or does the state just jump in and pay the bill and not try for reimbursement from their private insurance?
Representative Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, starting with the gallstones, that's a much better example than I was using of the pacemaker. That's a more common example that you're actually going to find. So that's actually more relevant, her example that she gave of what we're actually dealing with. As for the question about whether or not you'll be treated or not, the same as, and it's a good analogy using those who are incarcerated. The person still has to be treated no matter what because we did take them into our custody. The question becomes, do we have to pay for it? So that's the distinction there. We're still going to treat the individual. And as for private insurance, the law requires that they attempt to get it through their private insurance first. Whether or not the hospital is successful or not, they're required by law to at least attempt to get it from either the patient or if the patient has insurance or some other government benefit. And then after they are unable to do that, then the state pays.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question having been called. All those in favor of Chairman Buchanan's motion, when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, and do so with the recommendation that Senate File 6 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Senate File 6 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File number 10. Chairman, Representative Davison.
Thank you. May I have privilege of floor?
You may.
I'd like to introduce a fellow who's, you've all seen this week, a little girl running around helping me do all my emails and write letters and all kinds of things from Colkville, and her dad just came in to check on and see if we're all treating her well. From Colkville, Wyoming, Tim Davis.
The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 10. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 10, introduced by Mental Health, an act relating to mental health and substance abuse appropriations. This bill was referred to Committee Number 2 Appropriations, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Jones, Jorgensen, Peterson, Philp, Warren, excused, Harshman. Sign representing Philp, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Philp.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise and report, that it do so with a due pass recommendation for Senate File 10. And there are no standing committee amendments, and I will turn it over to the representative from House District 23 to explain the bill.
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you look at the original bill, if you have the white copy still, and then you look at the engrossed version, it's missing a few pages now. It got cut down pretty far. So what is left in the bill are two items. One has an appropriation, one does not. So let me deal with the appropriation first. The appropriation is for $60,000. What it would allow for is the Select Committee on Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services to continue for two more years. The idea with allowing the committee to continue for two more years, and just to back up a little bit to remind everyone, this started 4 years ago, primarily through the efforts of the majority floor leader of getting legislation passed to set up the select committee. The select committee has done a lot of work in the last 4 years to greatly improve the mental health and substance abuse services in the state of Wyoming. One of the major items we've done is a huge policy shift of moving toward what's called regionalization of providing services more in your region rather than putting everyone in an institution and so they're treated more at home. That has been an incredibly successful program. We've also increased our substance abuse residential beds. As of July of this year, of 2008, we will be at 200 beds once the Casper facility comes online. That's an amazing goal to have been achieved, to have so many residential treatment beds in the state of Wyoming to help treat. Not only the one in Casper will have a wing for adults, males, adult women, and a really special thing, a thing called women and children treatment. Many single women who are caught up with the problems of methamphetamine are worried about seeking treatment that they'll lose their children. We've set up a system where your children are not actually with you all the time, but they're housed there at the same facility, so you're near your children, and as you progress better through your treatment, you're back with your children. So the families are not divided up. Anyway, go on and on with all the great things that the committee has completed. But the issue became that maybe we've expended quite a lot of funding to this area. I would argue that it's all been effective funding, but there's some concern that maybe there should be some oversight once we've given all this funding, that maybe we need to go back now and ask some really tough questions as to how the money has been spent and to make sure the money's being spent the way we intended it to be spent. So it would be, the committee will become more of somewhat of an oversight committee for the implementation of all the good things that we've done rather than continuing to recommend new programs in the future. So hopefully we won't be bringing appropriation bills to you anymore that you've had to look at for the last 4 years. That's the intent of keeping the committee going for two more years. That's $60,000. Section 2 is not an appropriation. What that is we actually appropriated this $2 million to the Casper facility for residential substance abuse treatment. We appropriated that last year. The problem is, and you look at the new language, which is on page 3, line 3 and 4, the funds appropriated under the subsection shall be used to increase the capacity of community substance abuse treatment centers to provide residential treatment. they got an opinion from the AG's office that they could not use it. They only could start using that money once they'd already hired everybody and the facility was up and running. Their problem is they need the money to actually go and hire the people in the first place. And so what the language that was inserted that will allow them to do this is to, the language that was added was to fund reasonable startup costs and treatment services. So that will allow them to get the center in Casper up and running. And I would point out this doesn't just benefit Casper, this new facility that's being built. By building this new facility, and by the way, all the money for the construction of the building came from the people of Natrona County, not from the state. We're providing the operation costs, which is amazing that the people of Natrona County stepped up so greatly to provide these great benefits. But by having the facility in Casper, what it will do, in particularly, one of the things that affect us on the, I can only speak for my own county, we usually transport our folks to Rosen Recovery, which is in Rock Springs. Right now, their beds are always full from the folks from Fremont County. Hopefully, by having the Casper facility open, the Fremont folks will be moved toward Casper. It'll free up more room in Rock Springs for those of us on the western side of the state. So by opening these new beds, it's going to help all of your counties. So anyway, what this does is allow for the startup costs to be provided at the beginning. So there's just two sections of the bill, and I would stand for any questions.
Representative Zwanitz, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My understanding was when the original bill came into the legislative body, it was to make it feasible to set up a women's section. In other words, a section that would just deal with the ladies' issues. And I just want to make sure I understand this. Now, the engrossed version is just asking for money, and that money can be spent any which way, not necessarily for the women's portion as it was originally intended. Is that correct?
Representative Gingery.
I guess I didn't understand the last part of the question, any which way. The bill as is right now, it has nothing to do with that issue. That was taken out on the in the other house, that provision. There was a provision, it was section 2 of the old bill, that would have provided for some beds in the Pine Bluff. Pine Bluffs has a facility that's being used for the entire southeast region, which is southeast is Laramie, Goshen, Platte, Albany, and it actually includes Carbon now too. And so there's 16 beds there at the Pine Bluff facility. It would have provided some more funding for that. On the other house, they took that section out. Other sections of the old bill did actually make it into the budget. The other house decided that it was better, rather than profiling these through a bill, they'd rather have them inserted through an amendment to the budget, which a mirror amendment was done. And so some of the things that you see in the old bill actually have been covered through the budget. But all that's left in this bill is just allowing for the committee to continue its existence for 2 more years and allowing for Casper to use money that's already been appropriated for startup costs.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Phillips' motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate file number 10 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate file 10 is passed committee of the whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate file 51. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate file 51, introduced by Senator Jennings, an act relating to Game and Fish Mentor Hunter Program.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure?
This bill was referred to committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, which recommended that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Brown, Childers, Kraft, Davison, Goggles, Yagi, Slater, Thompson, excused, Eichel, sign representing Childers, Chairman.
You've now heard the complete reading of the bill. Chairman Childers.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the committee of the whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 51 do pass. There are no standing committee amendments. And this is the engrossed version, and I'll turn the podium over to the good lady from House District 20 to explain the bill.
Representative Childers, I do believe there is a standing committee amendment.
Mr. Chairman, I would further move the standing committee amendment, and again, I'll let her explain that.
Representative Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll let the good chairman do the amendment.
Chairman Mr. Childers.
Chairman. I don't know.
Chairman Childers.
Mr. Chairman, I move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 51. That bill simply takes on page 2, line 17, and removes the language 12 years old and older. And basically what that does is changes the bill that for the mentor hunting program that it's only no person may apply for more than one special authorization. In other words, it just makes it a little clearer that one authorization. And if there are no questions, I'll call for the question.
Question having been called, all those in favor of the Standing Committee Amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment 1 to Senate File 51 is passed. We are back on the bill. Representative Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill relates to game and fish, and what it does, it provides for supervised hunts and provides an opportunity for a first-time hunting experience prior to completion of a hunter safety course certification. Mandatory prerequisite hunter safety coursework and certification is a very important educational tool, and it can be a barrier, though, that discourages some from participating in a first-time hunting experience to determine the level of interest prior to completion of hunter safety course requirements. And researchers have found that nationally, for every 100 hunters that stop hunting, only 69 take their place. If hunter numbers continue to fall, economic projections indicate license dollars for wildlife agencies could drop by 25% by 2025. 11 states have implemented a program like this, and it has helped to improve their numbers and bring them back up. I've had several people call me and send emails that are worried about this being a way to bypass hunter safety, and it does not do that. It must be the person who is the mentor must be hunter safety certified, and the person that is going for the first time must take a hunter safety course before he can exercise his privileges to hunt in Wyoming. And that's the bill. Thank you.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Childers' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that Senate File 51 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. Senate File 51 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 55. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 55, introduced by Management Council, an act relating to appropriations for the legislature. This bill was referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations, which recommended that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Berger, Jones, Jorgensen, Peterson, Philp, Warren, excused, Harshman. Signed, Representative Philp, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Philp.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole Horizon report, it do so with a do pass recommendation for Senate File 55. It is the appropriation for the legislature. There is a standing committee amendment, and I'll go ahead and explain that before turning it over to Mr. Speaker. What this does is sets aside $100,000 or appropriates $100,000 to LSO for an information technology project. And that would involve contracting with a consultant to assist with project management responsibilities to integrate our current information technology tools into a more usable system for legislators. They would contract with a company that developed our document database to integrate the database into our website. They would contract with consultants to assist us with the development of underlying databases that would support a more dynamic website, and contracting with a consultant to review workflow related to the way the legislative branch processes information. And this may include analysis to reduce paper, the use of paper in these processes. This is in addition to a 50,000 request for website redesign, but that's the amendment, and I move amendment, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 55.
Question having been called, all in favor of the Standing Committee Amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment 1 has been adopted. We are back on the bill.
And Mr. Speaker will explain the bill.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. The state of Wyoming and our legislature, the state of Wyoming legislature is known for as being the most cost-effective of all 50 states. That's per capita. That tells you with our low population that the Wyoming legislature operates on a thin, mean, green, lean machine, and that we all do a fairly good job, at least if you determine that by the costs spent. I suppose there are some out there that would think by voting no that we wouldn't have to be back, but your Constitution says we need to. This is the famous feed bill. It's what we used to for years called the feed bill, and essentially it includes all the costs of operating our state legislative process. Inside you'll see session staff, employer-paid benefits that go with that, travel, and your and my salaries are included in that, annual dues into the organizations that we belong to, the Energy Council, NCSL, CSG, registration fees to functions that members of the legislature attend, G&A support, information technology, copying, furniture and fixtures, those kinds of things. Up on page 2, statutes, session laws, digest, the books, green books that we seem to get every 2 years for a total of about $16,220,502. In addition to that, you can go down to Section 1, Management Council sets. Some use of the state plane. There's been very, very little use of that, but there have been one or two occasions to use that state plane that was very, very beneficial to the state of Wyoming in general. Legislative computer equipment, as you know, our computers are replaced on a three-year rolling cycle. Section 2, there is some flex provision with Management Council to transfer some funds from one expense category to another within reason. Section 3, the standard provision travel. That's the out-of-state travel requirements that the Management Council sets with members of the legislature. Carry forward from prior appropriations. We do not allow to revert with legislative expense. We simply allow it to roll forward and adjust the appropriation accordingly. As approved by Management Council, we're going to be overhauling rooms 204 and 302. Particularly in 302, there'll be new furnishings, carpet, sound, those kinds of things. The Management Council also approved in the bill portraits of past governors that we don't already have portraits for, an appropriation for addition to the Wyoming Blue Book, room 302 furnishings, as I had mentioned, recarpeting room 302 and the sound system, lighting and skylight renovation in the two main chambers, appropriations for committee rooms and leadership office furnishings, the development of public information resources, some of that you had just heard from in the amendment, and on down the PDA discussion that took place on these floors about 6 years ago with the purchase and assistance in purchasing personal digital assistance, the constituent service allowance, you'll find that in Section 5, and the artwork and the facilities appropriations. We have an incredibly good crew of legislators that keep our building spruced up as well as it possibly can. And, Mr. Chairman, that's just about it. I would so move Senate File 55 and ask for your favorable consideration.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Phillips' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report and do so, the recommendation that Senate File 55 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 55 has passed Committee of the Whole.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you. I'd like to move Senate File 63 off of General File. It needs to be re-referred.
The next bill for our consideration is now Senate File 67. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 67, introduced by Senator Nicholas, an act relating to salaries of public officials. This bill was referred to Committee Number 2 Appropriations, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Jones, Jorgensen, Peterson, Philp, Warren, excused, Harshman, signed, Representative Philp, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Philp.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise and report, it do so with a due pass recommendation for Senate File 67. And I will turn it over to Representative Berger for an explanation. There are no standing committee amendments, and I will turn it over to Representative Berger for an explanation.
Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill deals with the salaries for officials and making an increase and an adjustment. What we have in particular is with our judicial branch that they have not been kept up with our state employees. And so we had a study done to make this alignment. An example would be that one of our other top officials that does similar kind of work, their average salary is $131,000. And the amount that we're paying for that position is about $12,000 less currently. We also had, when we did an adjustment on salaries, their percentage was only at 3.5% versus the state employees at 5.5. So it's just putting the salaries in alignment with the other officials. I ask for your favorable support.
Is there any other discussion on this bill? Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Chairman Philp's motion when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so the recommendation that Senate File 67 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 67 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 69. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 69, introduced by Select Natural Resources, an act relating to wildlife and natural resource funding. This bill was referred to Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Childers, Kraft, Davison, Goggles, Yeagy, Slater, Thompson. No, Brown, excused, Eichel, signed, Representative Childers, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Childers.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate File, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that Senate File 69 in gross do pass, and I will explain the bill. Senate File 69, Wildlife and Natural Resource Funding Amendments, is basically a bill to clarify legislative approval for large projects. Basically what the problem is, we have found is, or the board has found and the select committee has found as they review the project, once we approve a $200,000 project as a large project, it's quite possible some of those projects come back later needing an additional $200,000 or more. And what this is what that bill attempts to do. On pages 1 and 2, Romanex 3, Romanex 6, changes the word from which the grant to total of all grants sought or previously awarded under this act equals or exceeds $200,000, and same way on Romanex 6. Then on 9-15-104, sentences under subsection E, under starting with lines 16 through 21, it just changes the wording that from just large projects and for approved large projects as specified by subsection K of this section. And then subsection K goes into a detailed explanation of how these large projects are covered. No funds, and subsection K is, no funds shall be initially expended from the income account for large project except upon specific legislative authorization. Following the initial legislative authorization to expend funds for a large project, the board may approve additional grants for that large project not to exceed a total of an additional $200,000 and shall forward a notice of any such additional grant to the select committee within 30 days of each approval. Subsequent legislative authorization shall be required once the grants for a large project equal or exceed an additional $200,000 and for each additional $200,000 granted thereafter. Now, admittedly, some of the people that are here when this bill was passed, there was a veto of the original bill, which those of us that worked on the bill had some serious concerns about it and felt like the original bill met those standards. This somewhat flies in the face of that, but on the other hand, with the current board, the way they operate, I firmly believe that the way those large projects are funneling through to not only the board but the select committee, those problems are addressed. And sometimes as they work on projects, the first large project, they find that there's a lot more work to do, and quite frankly, that's where the additional grants come in. And I'll be happy to answer any questions. If there are no questions, I'll call for the question.
Chairman Philp.
Mr. Chairman, I'm just trying to understand this because it does involve appropriations. And the way that reads to me, funds in the income account are continuously appropriated for small project grants approved by the board and for approved large projects as specified by subsection K. Does that mean that those large projects are also continuously appropriated?
Representative Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I just want to make sure that I understand that this piece of legislation, in essence, raises the threshold for spending initially from $200,000 to $400,000 without approval. I mean, we sign off on a $200,000 project, and if I read this correctly, then the board can approve an additional $200,000 without coming back to the legislature.
Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Chairman, concerning the first question, if you'll go to subsection K, it specifically says no funds shall initially be expended from the income account for large projects except upon specific legislative authorization. And then on the next $200,000, that requires an additional legislative authorization. In other words, we go through the same process. Now, if they have $200,000 and they have smaller amounts, less than $200,000 for the additional amount on that, then it's possible they could go ahead, the board could go ahead and approve it. But if there's, we have found that if it even begins to approach $200,000, the board is quite good about approaching the select committee for additional approval for a large project. So even the, assuming the project winds up spending $600,000 over 3 years, that first $200,000, we get legislative approval in that particular session. They approach the committee. They do it the next year and do it the next year. It is possible that they could request approval for $600,000 in 1 year. But a lot of times those projects are spread over more than 1 year, and they aren't sure whether they'll go ahead and continue. So that's the reason for $200,000 thresholds on individual years. But they will not automatically, the board will not automatically approve $200,000 projects. They have to come to the select committee, and it comes through the legislative process.
Representative Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just curious, this is how I read this bill, is that, let's say I had some project, I'm planting some trees or something, and every time I do it, it costs $10,000. So I'm a small project, so I get to do $10,000 every year, and nobody, and that's just through the board, I don't have to come to the legislature. But the year I hit 210, so I've done this now for 20 years, and I go to 210,000, now I got to come to the legislature to get approval for $10,000, because how this is worded, it says previously awarded. So because I've gotten $10,000 every year for the last 20 years, I've now hit the $200,000 mark. So now I have to get legislative approval for a $10,000 appropriation. And then on the other part, I mean, that was on the small part. On the large projects, it appears the first $200,000, so if I did a large project for $200,000, I have to get legislative approval for my $200,000. But then I'm back to just doing my $10,000 every year. So I do my $10,000 every year, and that I don't have to get legislative approval. Even though I'm over the $200,000, every year I do $10,000, and they have to keep telling the select committee. I'm not real sure why we tell the select committee, because it doesn't look like they have any power to do anything to stop it. And then once I hit the next $200,000, then it gets legislative approval again. I'm just curious if that's what the intent was to do.
Representative Korberg.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I guess I just don't read this the same way that my good colleague up from Park County does, because it says to me on page 3, line 1, following the initial legislative authorization to expend funds for a large project, the board may approve additional grants for that large project not to exceed a total of an additional $200,000. So the way I read that, once we approve a large project, the board's going to be able to, on their own, approve another $200,000 for that project without coming back to this body for legislative authorization. That's how I read that.
Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Chair, I didn't read it that way.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd urge you to vote against this amendment, and let's go back to the beginning. We passed the Wildlife Trust Fund, and we had a whole mechanism in this thing that made it work exactly like the Water Development Fund. And it had a $5,000 cap on it. The board could spend the first $5,000, and from $5,000 up, it worked just like the water development process did, which has worked very well. And they would put their list of projects together, they'd go through the board, it'd go to a select committee, it'd come to the legislature, and we would authorize it. That, and we passed it that way. That was line item vetoed out of the bill. And so it left us with the situation we have today, which is if you have a small project, anything under $200,000, the board can approve that and can fund it without any oversight from this body whatsoever. And there is a provision in there, as I recall, at least the board's chosen to administer it that way, that if you have a series of projects that are going to aggregate more than $200,000, they're not going to treat it as a bunch of small projects and sidestep the statute by doing that. They're going to say, well, that's a large project, and they're going to do it that way. But now we have this creep that's building into this thing, and now they want to say, well, if it's a large project, a $200,000 or more, then yes, it has to go to the board, then it has to go to the select committee, then the legislature gets the final say on it, which we're going to have a bill as soon as it gets out of appropriation where we're looking at a list of large projects, and they're going to be asking for our approval, and I think we'll probably give a blanket approval, just like we do to the Water Development Fund. But now they want to say, well, if we have one of those and we get it authorized by the legislature, then the board can heap up to another $200,000 on there without having to come back and seek approval from us again. And after they get that next $200,000 piled on there, then if that's not enough, then the next time they have to come back. So the history of this is they've drug us, kicking and screaming in my opinion, they've drug us all the way from $5,000 up to $400,000. And I just don't like it. And they actually could have drug us kicking and screaming further than that. They've drug us from $5,000 up to whatever the amount is that we approve, plus they get a surcharge amount that, above that of another $200,000 before they have to come back and talk to us. And I don't think that comports with what the original intention was. I don't think it comports with the control mechanism that we passed in the beginning. And I would urge you to vote against this bill.
Chairman McComey.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'm not going to disagree with what was just said, but I'd like this body to remember one thing. This board and the executive director have been doing an outstanding job, I believe. That's my personal feeling. However, I think the legislative oversight was there when we established this fund, and we probably need to stick with that. But I would not like anybody to take some of the things that we're talking about here and make it seem like it's a reflection of that we're not satisfied with what's happening on that board, because I'm personally very satisfied with the way they run things.
Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Chairman, again on page 3, now bear in mind if I will check with LSO and make sure that, in fact, I'll be asking for an amendment to take care of this. But again, going to line 1, next sentence, following the initial legislative authorization to expend funds for a large project, the board may approve additional grants for that large project not to exceed a total of an additional $200,000 and shall forward a notice of any such additional grant to the select committee within 30 days of each approval. Now, the testimony in the committee and the discussion by the executive director was that to cover that, the additional $200,000 will be brought back to the select committee, and then we'll go through the legislative process. However, I do understand the concerns by the legislative body, including one of the committee members, and I will go in to talk to LSO about an amendment to bring on second or third reading. But I would urge you to support this bill because we are trying to control this, the amount above the first $200,000. And I'd urge you to support the bill, and I'll approach the LSO about an amendment.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. As I read the last sentence beginning on line 7 through 12 on page 3, I don't think it achieves the intent of the bill, which, as I understand it, is that once you hit a large project and that's approved, then every grant thereafter for that large project requires legislative appropriation. Is that what you're trying to achieve?
Generally, up to $200,000.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if you say up to $200,000, then I would just suggest something like this. At line 9, you take out additional, and then strike line 11 and the word granted on line 12 and make it read, for a large project equal or exceed, take out and also, $200,000 and for each grant approved thereafter. So if it's a $10,000 grant, and it's a large project initially, it then needs legislative authorization. Is that what we're trying to achieve?
Well, we meant up to 200,000.
Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we did mean up to the higher level of $200,000. However, I would say that I would like to talk to both the executive director and LSO, and we'll correct this confusion.
Well, Chairman Philp.
Well, and, you know, this bill probably should have come to appropriations because it does concern appropriations and it, and a continuous appropriation at that. But, you know, I think I'd like to give them a chance, and I think there's several ways you could go about it. Maybe it could be a percentage of the grant, because the way I read it right now, they could have a 300,000 grant and come back and increase it up to a 500,000 dollar grant. And I don't think we would like that very well, but I would work with the chairman to try and fix it.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Childers' motion when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, and do so with the recommendation that Senate File 69 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no.
No.
Pursuant to House Rule 10-5B, the bill having failed to voice vote, a standing division vote is required. All those in favor of Senate File 69, please stand. Senate File 69 has passed Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion carries.
The reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. Speaker, your Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, beg leave to report as follows. Senate File 6, amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 10, recommended do pass. Senate File 51, amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 55, amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 67, recommended do pass. Senate File 69, recommended do pass. Signed, Representative Dan Zwanitzer.
Representative Dan Zwanitzer.
I move the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You have heard the motion. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Congratulations, Representative Ross. Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker, I would like to re-refer Senate File 63, Natural Resource Large Project Funding, to appropriations. It does have an appropriation on the bill.
Without objection, Senate File 63 is re-referred from the Committee of the Whole to Committee Number 2. Chairman Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have privilege of the floor?
You certainly may.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to call the body's attention to the South Gallery, where we have another visitor from the little town of Douglas. Mr. Joe Coyne, who is Wyoming Business Council Director in Converse County. Joe, would you please stand up?
Representative Dave Zwanitzer.
Mr. Speaker, may I have privilege of the floor?
Please proceed.
Body, if you look at your desk today, we have a handout. This handout is from the Wyoming National Guard Museum. They would like to invite you all over to see their project. I would like to mention it is a project in progress. But if you'd like to visit what they've done, they have a few displays set up and where they're going with that museum. Feel free to call the number there on the bottom. And it's just right up here really close. So they'd be more than happy to meet you there anytime, pretty much day or night. So please do give them a call. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Committee announcements. Chairman Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs will meet upon adjournment today in committee room number 817 to discuss Senate File 25 engrossed National Guard Life Insurance Contribution Option, Senate File 30, Commercial Vehicle Licensing.
Chairman Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet tomorrow, February 27, 2008, at 8 a.m. in H8 to consider Senate File 66, Community Juvenile Services, Senate File 42, Wyoming Court Security Act, and Senate File 40, Uniform Trust Code Amendments.
Chairman Landon.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, will meet tomorrow afternoon at adjournment in H-17 to hear Senate File 62, Emergency Medical Technicians, Senate File 36, Public Health Emergency Volunteers, and Senate File 13, Mental Health Professionals Practice Act Amendments.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, will meet upon adjournment tomorrow, Wednesday, in room 302 to take up Senate File 22, Engrossed, School Facilities Amendments, Senate File 71, Hathaway Scholarship Program, Success Curriculum, and Senate File 38, Engrossed, People First Language.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock in room H18 to hear Senate File 19, Clandestine Drug Laboratories Remediation. We will have a little discussion on a new potential pipeline project from Wyoming to the West Coast, and I will have a list of our interim topics as submitted by the members. Not discussed, but just submitted. And then we will hear Senate File 12, Dispensing Room Products Sold.
Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 4, 3, Revenue, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in H-11 to discuss Senate File 28, Investments in State Funds Revision.
Other announcements. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You have a general file list on your desk that was just handed out. Senate File 7, Senate File 8, Senate File 48, Senate File 41, Senate File 18, Senate File 21, Senate File 39, Senate File 43, Senate File 57, and Senate File 11, and also Senate File 1, which is the Senate Budget Appropriations Bill. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House adjourn until 10 a.m. on Thursday morning, February 10 a.m. on Wednesday morning, February 27, 2008. Thank you.
You have heard the motion. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. We are adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.